This is Jared Bush from the Green Bay Packers, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're looking back at a victory over the Cleveland Browns, looking forward to a game against the Minnesota Vikings. But the thing on everybody's mind this morning, and really for the past few days, has been the play of or the injury to tight end JerMichael Finley. To discuss that, we have joining us, as we do every Wednesday on the show, we have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you, Brian?
Very good. It seems crazy that we were just talking last week about a subpar season for JerMichael Finley, but his loss and what I think is perhaps a drop-off at the tight end position seems pretty steep. How will his loss affect the Packers' offense?
Yeah, there definitely is a drop-off from Finley to the other tight ends on the Packers' roster. Even though Finley wasn't having as good of a receiving year as some of the other tight ends in the league, he's still an above-average option as a receiving tight end. So that's really where the drop-off is. In terms of run blocking, the Packers shouldn't see any difference between him and the other tight ends that they have on the roster. But we haven't really seen much of receiving out of the Packers' backup tight ends this season. Corliss has yet to make a catch for more than 10 yards and has a drop on compared to just four catches, and then Ryan Taylor also has a drop compared to just two catches. So there's definitely a drop-off in production in terms of receiving there.
Should mention nothing is official here regarding JerMichael Finley, at least from the Packers organization yet, but it's expected that he'll miss at least some amount of time. Exactly how much that could be is still up in the air, but Nathan, the Packers have lost so many receiving targets lately, not just JerMichael Finley, but Randall Cobb, James Jones. Is it a situation where they'll be relying on Eddie Lacy in the running game, perhaps even more?
Yeah, I could definitely see the Packers relying more on the run game. It makes sense for the Packers to put the best five players they have on the field. And at this point, that could very well be more two tight end sets or more sets that have a John Kuhn as a blocking fullback in there. And from those sets, it makes more sense to run the ball a little more often than they have been. And then also just looking ahead to some of the Packers' opponents, I could see the Packers having some leads in these games, which whenever you're trying to protect the lead, that leads to even more running. So we could definitely see Eddie Lacy getting a lot of carries over these next few weeks.
Well, one guy who stepped up in the absence of all these receivers this past game against the Cleveland Browns was wide receiver Jarrett Boykin. He had over 100 yards. How would you say he played?
I would say he definitely had a good game in this one. Just looking at those base statistics of 8 catches for over 100 yards, that's a good game. When you see who it's been up against, half of his catches were either against Buster Skrine or Joe Hayden, who both of them were having a good season prior to this game. And then the other half came against their slot corner, Chris Owens, who's still an average cornerback. So they were going up against good players. And then on top of that, he had a 22-yard catch, which was caught back to offensive holding. And then there was another play where he was the one held, and had he not been held and caught the ball, that would have been another 21-yard catch. So that's more big plays that he very well could have made and just didn't show up on the stat sheet due to penalties. So definitely a good game out of Boykin.
Encouraging news for a team that can use some receiving threats. We're talking to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com here on Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. Let's turn our attention to the defensive side of the football. More injury situation. Clay Matthews is out. Nick Perry is out. But in their place, how did these young outside linebackers, Andy Malumba, Nate Palmer, fare against the Cleveland Browns?
They did about how I expected them to do. They barely brought any pass rush at all. They combined for 0 sacks, 1 hit, and 2 hurries, and none of that came up against Joe Thomas. That all was either against right tackle or more of an interior or more outside rush. So in terms of pass rush, they didn't really do much at all. But they were both very impressive in the run game. They both ended up with a plus 1.8 run defense grade in terms of our PFF rating. So there really wasn't much of a difference between the two. Palmer got his good grade by having 3 tackles for short gains and another tackle for no gain, which are all good plays. And then Mulumba more so with 2 great plays, one where he had a tackle for no gain and another where he was able to run past the line, slow the running back 5 yards into the backfield, which gave the rest of the Packers enough time to come in and make the tackle for a 4-yard loss. So against the run, it was very encouraging to see how well they played.
I'm really interested in hearing the answer to this upcoming question, because Jamari Lattimore now for a second straight week, if you ask me, has played really well. And now Brad Jones, at least at some point in the near future, is going to get healthy. How is Jamari Lattimore looking compared to Brad Jones in this Packers defense?
Yeah, I would agree with his week 6 game against Baltimore. That was a really good game there. That's about as, looking at his grades and numbers, that's exactly what I would expect that Brad Jones would have been the one playing. Against the Cleveland Browns, he had a roughly an average game by our rating. He definitely had a couple really nice plays against the run, but there were also a few plays where the Browns offensive linemen were able to get to the second level and successfully block Lattimore. So those plays, it's harder to notice since he's not making a big play, but those are still plays against him. And then in coverage, he did allow 6 catches for 62 yards, with half of those going for first down. So none of them were really terrible plays, but they add up over time of not being great plays, of allowing that much yards. So against the Browns, it all just averaged out to an average game, which isn't as good as Jones in that respect, since Jones was fairly consistently having good grades. But I would definitely take Lattimore over plenty of other linebackers that are starting for other teams in the league right now.
That is interesting. I didn't realize it. You know, you give up 1 catch and it's not a big deal, but Jamari Lattimore giving up 6 catches this past game, kind of interesting. Didn't really catch on to that during the game. In the secondary, Devon House has only been kind of a part-time player for the Packers this season, but is it becoming time he's in store for a little bit of a bigger role?
At this point, he definitely deserves a bigger role. Looking at his numbers just over the past 2 weeks, he's been thrown at 10 times, and in that he's allowed just 2 catches. So a 20% catch rate for wide receivers he's against is really low. It was just for 21 yards, so none of them were big catches. And then on top of that, he has an interception and 4 passes defended. So when you're able to make a play on half of the passes thrown your way, that's definitely excellent. Yeah, that's a smaller sample size, but that's still excellent cornerback play over these past 2 weeks. The only problem is it's hard to justify him receiving more playing time when you have Tremont Williams and Sam Shields as the top 2 cornerbacks. And then if Casey Hayward can get healthy and play the way he was last year, it's hard to justify having someone playing over Hayward as well.
Yeah.
So while he definitely deserves the playing time, it's hard to find it. And one way I think the Packers could possibly do it is if they shift their dime defense to having 4 cornerbacks and 2 safeties rather than 3 of each, if they can find a way to make that work, that might be a way to get more of their better players on the field. But without that, it's hard for me to see House on the field more.
Yeah, it did seem like they kind of did that this past week with Micah Hyde, I think, played that dime role a little bit more often, I think, this past week for kind of the first time, I believe. But anyway, looking forward ahead here, Nathan, to the next game for the Green Bay Packers. They play the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday Night Football. Minnesota, of course, coming off a rather putrid showing on Monday night against the New York Giants. I don't even think I mean a Packers homer in saying that. I mean, that's pretty much the opinion of the nation. But, you know, what's in store for this game? And of course, they still face a pretty darn good running back in Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, for anyone who stayed up and watched that Monday night game, it's going to be hard for me to tell you anything to make you worried about this upcoming game. Josh Freeman recorded the worst game in Pro Football Focus history in terms of quarterback ratings. I know there's another football analytics website, Advanced NFL Stats, who also, their metrics that Freeman was the worst quarterback they've seen in their time looking at stats. Outside of that, on offense, Adrian Peterson really hasn't been having a great season. For most carries, he's only been getting 2 or 3 yards, so he hasn't been breaking long runs like he was last year. Some of the receivers have been playing well this year when the quarterback's been able to get the ball to them, but they need the quarterback to do that in order for the receivers to play well. So I don't think the Packers really have much to worry about on the Vikings offense. In terms of the Vikings defense, I could see their outside pass rushers have been playing well, Brian Robinson and Jared Allen. The probably only good play from that Monday night game was Jared Allen's sack. So if you didn't see that, I'll definitely try to find that on the internet, since that was a really good sack out of Allen. But outside of their outside pass rush, they don't have a whole lot on defense. Their cornerbacks really haven't been playing well. So this is another chance for some of the Packers' young receivers to step up. And then one more thing on the Vikings offense, the interior of their offensive line hasn't been doing that well in pass protection. So I think the Packers' defensive line is also something to look for in this game, since I think some of their pass rushers on the defensive line could step up in this one and show that they are better players than what they've been playing this season.
Nathan, we appreciate you joining us here on a Wednesday morning at Railbird Central. And once again, we look forward to your analysis next week in kind of a review of the Vikings game.
Yep, thanks for having me. Talk to you next week.
All right, take care. Nathan Jahnke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us as he does every Wednesday here on the show. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, join us as well. Of course, one of the main storylines in coming up later today, in fact, Packers facing Greg Jennings this week for the first time, facing off against his former team, will be very interesting. In fact, what I've heard from the beat reporters covering the team, Greg Jennings will be taking part in a teleconference with Packers reporters sometime today. I don't have the exact time of that, but if you're on Twitter, you follow the Packers beat writers, make sure to look for that. It'll be interesting to see, hear what Greg Jennings has to say today as he gets ready to face off against Aaron Rodgers, his apparent nemesis, and the Green Bay Packers. I just hear so many people say to Greg Jennings, well, how do you like that team you're with now? How do you like the quarterback you're working with now? And maybe that question will be coming. So we'll see. Definitely that is a storyline heading into this game, and a big one. I wanted to point out here that I didn't, you know, really have a chance to this past game or on Monday. The performance of the Packers special teams, I think, is really kind of going under the radar right now and is really being affected more than anywhere else on the team by all these injuries that are cropping up. Now, you saw special teams might have been the worst aspect of the Packers' entire game this past week against the Cleveland Browns. The Packers gave up, what was it, at least two fairly lengthy kickoff returns. And the Packers, they kind of looked discombobulated. They actually, for the first time all year, had Mason Crosby out there on kickoffs instead of Tim Mastay. Just things you can tell they're doing everything in their possibility to right the ship. But I do think it has more to do with personnel, because look who's not playing special teams. If I were to ask you, and you could throw out your answer on the live blog, who would you say the Packers' best special teams players are? Not talking specialist, not kicker, punter, long snapper, but who do you think the best special teams The guys who are going down and making tackles, the guys who are part of the kamikaze team, the guys out there doing the blocking, who are the best special teams players on the Packers? Now, if you ask me, I would say Jared Bush is one of those guys. I would say Jamari Lattimore is one of those guys. Bryce Hansen on the live blog throws out Jerry Bush, Ryan Taylor, Jamari Lattimore. So those three guys we just mentioned here, guess what? None of them played this past Sunday. So the three, but perhaps the three best special teams players on the Packers, Jarrett Bush, Jamari Lattimore, Ryan Taylor, none of them played on special teams. Well, Jamari Lattimore might have played a few snaps, but because he is subbing in for Brad Jones at inside linebacker, they have cut back Jamari Lattimore's work on special teams dramatically. So that is why you saw these mistakes. And hey, the Packers had a couple penalties on special teams as well. Think about the roughing the kicker penalty when they ran into the punter and gave the Cleveland Browns a first down. Well, who was it on that play who ran into the punter? That was Jake Stoneburner. Guess who Jake Stoneburner's taking the roster spot of? Ryan Taylor. So you start to understand how all these injuries are affecting the special teams in a very negative fashion here lately. And so that's why this is happening, I think. And once this team gets healthy, once Brad Jones comes back, then Jamari Lattimore can play more on special teams. Once Jarrett Bush gets healthy, he'll be able to play more on special teams. And certainly there is some silver linings. I see the name Chris Banjo being brought up on the live blog, and he's doing a good job this year. He might be the best addition to special teams there is. That there has been. So that's definitely been a really nice bright spot on the team. Seeing Chris Banjo out there covering kicks, covering punts, things like that. He's a tough guy, and the Packers are lucky to have him on their special teams. But yeah, I mean, they need Jamari Lattimore. They need Jarrett Bush. They need Ryan Taylor out there making these special teams plays. And so they need to get these guys healthy. They really need to get them healthy. So that's the injuries, they go beyond just offense and defense. It's these reasons. And hey, you look at too, this past week, who was filling in outside linebacker for Clay Matthews and Nick Perry? Well, it's Andy Malumba and Nate Palmer. And guess what? If Nick Perry and Clay Matthews are healthy, Andy Malumba and Nate Palmer are more of your core special teams guys. Again, those linebackers, the guys who can make tackles, have a little bit of speed to them. So again, I mean that's another place that's going to not only help the defense, with Nick Perry and Clay Matthews being on the field, but then it allows Nate Palmer and Andy Malumba to play a bigger role on special teams. Again, they're probably out there playing a few plays here and there, but they need to be playing a dozen plus special team snaps for this Packers team, for the special teams to really improve their play. But yeah, I mean, obviously here, everybody this week, I think, is worried about JerMichael Finley. JerMichael Finley, just before we came on air today at 8:30 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, He takes to Twitter this morning and says, and perhaps somebody can throw out the exact wording on our live blog, but what did JerMichael Finley tweet? Oh, he's like, every piece of info that's out there is false. Like, I'm not really sure what he means by every piece of info, or, JerMichael Finley, I don't think he's the sharpest knife in the drawer. What he's taking offense to every piece of info is interesting, but I mean, perhaps what his injury is, this bruised spinal cord. I don't know if, you know, it's been reported that he has a bruised spinal cord. It makes sense to me that that would be the injury. I don't know why that's being thrown out there if it's wrong. Maybe it's the timeline. Ed Werder of ESPN had said JerMichael Finley is going to be out at least 4 to 6 weeks. And again, that seems to be the short end, that he could possibly be out longer. He could possibly be out for the rest of the season. The Packers could perhaps place him on injured reserve. His career could maybe even be done. Now, we don't want to go that far yet till, you know, a little bit of time passes and JerMichael Finley gets a second opinion and the Packers decide what to do and evaluate the risks here. So, you know, we're talking about a lot of speculation, a lot of conjecture at this point. But I mean, it really is hard to say what's true and what's false right now. But JerMichael Finley says it's all false, every little bit of it. So I do see here on the live blog, who was it here that threw out the Mike Levenowicz had says Tom Silverstein has an interesting article about neck injuries at JS Online. And yeah, I just read it this morning after I woke up, but by all means go to the JS Online .com today and check out the article by Tom Silverstein, basically just talking to a neck doctor specialist. I don't know his exact title, his exact name, but talking about neck injuries in general and the possibilities of what might have happened to JerMichael Finley, and you know, the saying that it's very likely that he will need surgery. There's a lot of good information out there. How much of it is you know, accurate, I don't know. But I know that article by Tom Silverstein really kind of lays out what, you know, could have happened to JerMichael Finley, and I think, very interesting stuff. Go read it, go check it out. But yeah, I mean, the Packers offense in the short term has to adjust, and I think the scary thing that could happen this upcoming week against the Vikings is the Packers could be without not only JerMichael Finley, they could be without Randall Cobb and James Jones too. Packers could be without three of their top four receiving targets coming into the season. In fact, it was on Monday during Monday's press conference where Mike McCarthy kind of gave an updated timeline for James Jones. It was, you know, last week that they were leaving the option open to James Jones playing this past week against the Browns. And that didn't seem to be very likely at all based upon Mike McCarthy's Monday comments saying they feel that James Jones will be out 2 to 3 weeks. Obviously now we're in week two. That's saying that it's not even looking likely that Jones is back this week either. Now, they haven't closed the door on it. I mean, obviously, they didn't close the door on it last week against the Browns either. James Jones was listed as questionable, you know, kind of leaving the door open that he could play. Didn't end up being the case. But, the Packers without possibly Cobb, Finley, Jones, that basically leaves only Jordy Nelson as one of these top, you know, targets, and thankfully, you know, Jarrett Boykin stepped up this past week, looked a lot more in tune with Aaron Rodgers, and hopefully he just kind of continues on that upward trend. But yeah, the Packers going to continue to rely upon an inexperienced receiving core. This past week, Miles White played a lot. He played 40-some snaps on offense, but only came away with, I think, a single reception against the Browns. So the young rookie, the undrafted rookie, you know, not Aaron Rodgers, not really looking his way all that much. And in fact, another special teams blunder, Miles White made the mistake late in the game on an onside kick. The kick came and hit his hands
and he didn't recover the football. Packers got a little bit lucky that there was a penalty on the play by the Browns, and they had to redo the kick. But Miles White could have made that point moot by simply recovering it, and then the Packers could have declined the penalty. So there's a lot for that young player to learn yet, both on offense and on special teams. And then, of course, the Packers acquiring on waivers this last week, Chris Harper. Another interesting story. You know, the Packers so banged up, so banged up. Now, they got the services of Chris Harper last Friday. He didn't even take part in a practice all week long. I mean, even if, you know, Chris Harper's really good, he wouldn't have been active last week, you know, had it not been for injuries, just because he hasn't been around the team. He doesn't know anything. Well, he's one of the only 46 healthy players on the roster. So Chris Harper ended up playing on, I think it was kickoff coverage more than anything. Yeah, they needed him. A guy who as I understand it, as the story goes, flew into Green Bay on Saturday, the day before the game. he had so little time to get ready for the game. It's incredible, but, you know, ends up playing a role anyway. But it'll be interesting to see if the Packers end up using him on offense and how quickly, you know, they can get him involved and up to speed and kind of on the same page as Aaron Rodgers. There were a lot of reports that the 49ers were planning on using Chris Harper in kind of a hybrid tight end H-back role, similar to Delanie Walker. But when a reporter asked Mike McCarthy how they view Chris Harper, they said, "We view him as a receiver." Well, there you go. I don't know if tight end or H-back is in the cards for Chris Harper in Green Bay. Appears not to be, but yeah, still interesting to see how quickly they can get him involved in the offense, because he does seem like a talented guy, a fourth-round draft choice for the Green Bay Packers. Well, not for the Packers, was originally with the Seahawks, ends up bouncing around, was one of the highest players drafted who ended up being cut. In fact, I think he was the second highest drafted player to be cut by a team. So we'll see what the impact of Chris Harper is going forward. Be interesting week here to see how the Packers, you know, respond to all these injuries. They get back to practice today, Wednesday. They had the usual day off Tuesday. Back to practice for the first time this week in preparation of the Vikings. First on-field preparations, at least. And, you know, I think today going to be a lot of the focus of seeing if these guys who were questionable for last week's game against the Browns end up practicing today. You know, who are the guys listed questionable against the Browns? We got James Jones, Brad Jones, Casey Hayward, Jarrett Bush. Are those guys going to be back and be healthy and be ready to finally contribute to this team? You kind of feel, seeing as they were questionable last week, they're probably pretty close to returning. Packers could definitely use the services of James Jones, most definitely. But I don't know. It's kind of looking like he's going to be out this week as well. Could use Brad Jones too and Casey Hayward, but these guys, the jury's still out on them. So we'll see today whether they take part in practice or not. And we'll see where they are going forward with this team. So that's what to watch this week as we get ready for a meeting against the Minnesota Vikings and Greg Jennings as the Packers. As I understand it, this is the last game at the Metrodome. So next year the Vikings are going to play at the University of Minnesota Stadium. As I understand it, it always seems to me that whole, you know, stadium issue is changing like monthly in Minnesota. But the last time the Packers could play in the Metrodome, if everything stays status quo there in Minnesota, be next year, be playing at the University of Minnesota Stadium until they build that new one there. So that place is a dump, the Metrodome, but just the memories do come back from so many games being played there. It is a little bit hard to believe, but anyway, it's now past 9 o'clock on a Wednesday morning here at Railbird Central. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us here on the show. We'll be back on Friday morning, 8:30 a.m., as we are every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. So join us then. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your news needs all week long. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Valley of the Jig by String Cheese Incident on Cy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.